Greetings, brethren. Welcome to the Day of Atonement 2014. Today is a special day set aside by God that has many meanings and tells us many different things, but especially answers the question, why is there evil in the world and when will that cease? So the Day of Atonement has a lot of meaning for us in the church directly, for the world in particularly, for Israel, and hence all people. Let's come to Leviticus 23, and let's pick it up here in verse 26. Leviticus 23 and verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation to you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire. Now, afflict your souls, we will see in just a little bit, means to fast without food and without water. We come to God humble, realizing that everything that we have came from Him. Everything that we know has come from His creation of us and giving us the conscience and the mind, giving us of His Spirit. Everything we know of God comes from God. And it is the day for us to realize and understand no man can tell God what to do. No man can bring his good ideas and tell God he needs to accept them. Man is imperfect and sinful, and God is perfect and holy. That's why we need the Day of Atonement. Now, particularly on this day, verse 28, you shall do no work in that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, in order to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. Now, we will see about that also. And whoever is not afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whoever does any work in that day, the same one will I destroy from among his people. Now, God is able to do this individually, in many, many different ways. Destroy does not necessarily mean to instantly do away with. Verse 31, you shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be a Sabbath to you, a Sabbath of rest to you, and you shall afflict your souls. And the 9th day of the month at sunset, from sunset to sunset, you shall keep your Sabbath. Now, it's very interesting here with this, because this defines precisely when a day begins and when a day ends. The ending of the 9th day at sunset, and the Hebrew there is Ba'erev, that ends the day. And from sunset to sunset, you shall observe your Sabbath. So the 10th day of the 7th month is defined specifically by God, Ba'erev, 9th day, to Ba'erev, the 10th day. Now you can take that, Ba'erev and sunset, and apply it to any holy day, because that's when the days begin and end. And that goes all the way back to Genesis, the first chapter. Now let's understand here with the Day of Atonement, as we do with all of the holy days that we observe, we take up an offering to give to God. And it is used for what He wants done in preaching the gospel and feeding the flock and understanding the Word of God, and to especially realize that we are waiting for the kingdom of God, and we have a particular part in it. Every one of us, great and marvelous and wonderful, that is going to be, and that we will be, as this word says, at one meant with God. So at this time, we will pause and take up an offering. Now, since we're here in the book of Leviticus, let's come back to Leviticus 16, and let's see concerning the Day of Atonement and what was done at the temple on the Day of Atonement. And there are also some prophetic things that apply, as we will see, in fulfilled prophecy, as we find in the book of Revelation. But this day is the most important day for the children of Israel, and also a very important day in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now let's come to Leviticus 16. Let's first of all come to verse 29. And this tells us that this is to be done on the Day of Atonement, so these are all the things to be done on the Day of Atonement. Verse 29, and it shall be a statute forever to you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls, do no work at all, whether he be one of your own country or a stranger who is among you. For on that day an atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you, so that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest to you. You shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. So all the things that are listed here in Leviticus 16 all pertain to the Day of Atonement and what God was going to do. Because, you see, this is going to answer the question, is there a day coming when God is going to remove sin completely? Yes, but the complete fulfillment of it unto the spiritual kingdom of God, where we are all spirit beings, covers the whole scope of human history and the plan of God. But in the meantime, we have our sins forgiven through Christ, and Christ is the one who is the sacrifice here for our sins, and for the sins of the children of Israel. Now let's go forward with it and let's understand. Moses was told by God to tell Aaron that he was not to come in to the Holy of Holies at any time, but only once a year on the Day of Atonement. And he would come in with all the holy garments on him, verses 3 and 4, Now, come down here to verse 5. Now, here's an important thing we need to understand literally and physically, spiritually, and what it means for us. Verse 5. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of a goat for a sin offering, one ram for a burnt offering, and he shall offer a young bull for a sin offering for himself, make atonement for himself and for his house. Interesting, the high priest had to make atonement for himself first. Now we will see how that applies to Jesus Christ a little later. And he shall bring the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So he would go in, he would offer the offering for himself, then he would come out, and he would present the two goats before the Lord. Verse 8, and Aaron shall cast lots on the two goats, one for the Lord and one for Azazel. Now Azazel is a name for another name for Satan, the devil. And the spiritual meaning of this is, human beings by their own discernment and knowledge and understanding, can never tell the difference between the true God and Satan the devil, the god of this world. It isn't that true. Human beings, and with the law of sin and death within us, and without the Spirit of God to lead us, or without the understanding of the Word of God, we would do as all human beings do. Everything that they do is right in their own eyes. They have a reason for doing it, and they think it's good. They have their religions, and they think they're good. They do some good things, and they think, well, that qualifies them for salvation. Well, no. The only thing that qualifies you for salvation is Jesus Christ and God the Father, not ourselves. Everything that we do, now think about this for a minute. Everything that we do, if we keep the commandments of God, we're doing God's works, right? If we do what God says, and if we love God and love our neighbor, and love each other and love our enemies, all of that is what God wants us to do. And all of those are the works of God. That's why we are judged by our works. Are they our own or God's? Are they inspired of Satan the devil or of God? That's why the two goats had to be chosen by God. Only God can select the sacrifice for the sins of humanity. No man. And only God can get rid of Satan the devil, and no man. Now we will see this type in the ceremony here in Leviticus 16. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it for a sin offering, 10th day of the 7th month. And the goat on whom the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement upon it, and send it away into the wilderness for Azazel. Now let's go forward with this and see what was to be done here. Okay. Let's come down here to verse 15. Then he shall kill the sin offering that is for the people, and bring its blood into the veil, inside the veil, and do with it as the blood he did with the young bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the sanctuary because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, because of their transgressions in all their sins. Now we will see why there has to be the live goat, and why that pictures Satan the devil. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation which remains with them in the midst of their uncleanness. Okay? And after he has done that, sprinkled the blood, okay? Then, come over here, verse 21. Now, why this ceremony? Some people think the two goats represent Christ. Well, never has God given a live atonement for sin before him. This represents something else. And this has to represent Satan the devil, because until Satan is removed, mankind cannot choose or know who and what God is. Look at the whole world, see. This is why during this time, God is the one who calls. We have to answer the call. Then he chooses. The Lord chooses us. Did not God choose Jesus Christ as our sin offering? Yes, indeed, we will see that. And as a matter of fact, that was done on the 10th day of the 1st month. Interesting. Now let's come forward with this. Verse 21. And Aaron shall lay his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over him all the sins of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and it shall be sent away by the hand of a chosen man into the wilderness. Now, why do this? Well, as we will see when we come to the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, as soon as Satan is around, there is war, and sin is magnified. No man can get rid of Satan. Now, in this ceremony, yes, a man, as we will see, was a type of the angel of Revelation 20, led the goat into the wilderness. Now, the wilderness is not heaven. Some say, since the goat represents both Christ, one is our sacrifice and one of them is taking our sins to heaven. Well, no place in the Bible does it ever show that heaven is a wilderness. Though heaven pictures where God is. You can read that Revelation 4 and 5. Wilderness is always a type of desolation. And that, as we will see in just a minute, is where Jesus met Satan, the devil, for the temptation. Now notice, verse 22, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities to a land that in which no one lives, and he shall let the goat go in the wilderness. Then Aaron was to cleanse his clothes, wash his flesh, offer another offering, and the one who let the goat go for Azazel was to wash his clothes, bathe his flesh in water, and afterward come into the camp. Now, let's see how this was fulfilled. Let's come to Revelation 20. Revelation, the 20th chapter. And the first order of business when Christ and the saints return to the earth is to get rid of Satan the devil. Get rid of the author of sin. Get rid of the one who wants to be in place of God, but can never be. The one who wants to be worshipped as God, as we will see. Revelation 20 and verse 1. Then I saw an angel descending from heaven. Now this is the type of the strong man of Leviticus 16. Having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he took hold of the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil. And it says in Revelation 12:9, who's deceiving the whole world. That's why, you see, God determines all of these things. That's why the appointed times of these are in God's hands. Yes, he gives us the framework of it. But after the events leading up to the return of Jesus Christ, everything's going to be out of order and have to be set in order again. And he took hold of the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Then he cast him into the abyss and locked him up and sealed the abyss over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer, until the 1,000 years were fulfilled. And after that it is ordained that he be loosed for a short time. All right. Now then, let's see what else was fulfilled concerning the Day of Atonement. Now, let's come back to Leviticus 25. Because there is that special Day of Atonement that pictures Jesus' ministry. So let's examine that. And we will see how important that the Day of Atonement is for us through Jesus Christ. Leviticus 25, and the Lord spoke to Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, verse 1 here, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you. Now, some have thought that Well, we'll save that for a little later. Okay? Let's go forward here. Then shall the land keep a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall sow your field 6 years, and you shall prune your vineyard 6 years, and gather in your fruit. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath rest of the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. And you shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. You shall not reap that which grows of its own accord for your harvest, that is, to use it to sell and have your livelihood. Neither gather the grapes of your undressed vines as a harvest. It is a year of rest to the land. Rather, the Sabbath yield of the land shall be food for you, for your servant, for your slave woman, for your hired servant, and for your stranger who stays with you, and for your livestock and for the beast that is in your land, shall all the increase of it be for food. Now notice verse 8, because here we come to a special day of atonement. And we will see how that fits in with what Christ did and began his ministry. Verse 8, and you shall number 7 Sabbaths of years to you, 7 times 7 years, and at the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be 49 years to you. Now notice, then shall you cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound. In the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, the trumpet shall sound throughout all your land. And you shall make the 50th year holy. Proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee to you, and you shall return each man to his possession, and you shall return each man to his family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee to you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which grows of itself, neither gather the grapes of your undressed vines of it, for it is the jubilee. It shall be holy to you, and you shall eat the increase of it out of the field. In the year of jubilee, you shall return every man to his possession. And all the slaves were to be let go, not only in the 7th year, but also in the 50th year. Now then, let's come to Luke, the 4th chapter, and let's see a fulfillment of this in Christ and the beginning of his ministry. And I want you to understand that what Christ was doing, there was still the ceremony and things going on at the temple. Luke, the 4th chapter. Now we know that when Jesus was baptized, back here, Luke, the 3rd chapter, let's look at that. Verse 21. Now it came to pass, after all the people were baptized, Jesus was baptized. Isn't that interesting? He waited for all of them to be baptized, and he was. And was praying that the heaven, and was praying that the heavens was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form as a dove. And there came a voice from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus was chosen for the atonement to go against Satan the devil on the day that he was baptized. Now Luke, the 4th chapter and verse 1. Luke 4 and verse 1. And Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing in those days, and after they had come to an end, he hungered. All right? Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit, we know that in the book of Exodus 34 and verse 10, that Moses was with God 40 days and 40 nights and ate nothing and drank nothing. Now here we have the same thing with Jesus. Only this time, this is going to determine who is God, who is the true Savior. Now notice Jesus went into the wilderness. Where was the goat for Azazel released? In the wilderness. And Azazel is another name for Satan. Where did Jesus meet Satan the devil? In the wilderness. He tempted him with bread, and Jesus answered, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." He tempted him with all the glory of the kingdoms of the world, and he knew he was going to be the coming king to rule over all the world. So you see, he had to overcome all the temptations of Satan the devil with his wiles, with his cunning, with his clever speaking. Now, we don't know all that he told Jesus, but he probably told him, "Look, why do you have to go through all of this? You know, just worship me, and I'll give it to you now." And isn't that the way people are? Isn't that what happened with Adam and Eve? Yes, indeed, and it's happening to all human beings. They take the easy way, the broad way, and they think that what they are doing is right. And as a result of that, we come down to the end time, as we've seen how many times in Revelation 13, that the whole world worships the devil. That's what's happening today. Look at it. Are we in bondage? Yes. Are we captive of our sins? Yes. And unless Jesus Christ came and unless he had this temptation, there would be no way out of sin. Now let's come down here and see what happened after that was done. Now there was quite a space of time that occurred after that before he came to Nazareth. But let's see what happened here in verse 16, chapter 4. Because we have something else that's very important to realize. What he said, when he said it, why he said it. And this is after he had overcome Satan, the devil, and the temptations, and actually began preaching, actually beginning his ministry. Okay. Verse 16, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and according to his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day." Now that Sabbath day, as you will read in a footnote, is the day of the weeks, the Sabbath of the Sabbaths, or the day of the weeks, which is Pentecost. Now, why is that important? Well, remember where we read on how to count to the year of Jubilee. 7 times 7 Sabbaths. Only these were years. And then the 50th year was the year of Jubilee. And the year that Jesus went through the temptation was the Jubilee year, the Day of Atonement, 26 AD in the fall. Now, since he could not announce in the wilderness to the people of Israel there in Galilee and in Judea, the Jews and the various few of the tribes that were remnant that were with them, could not tell them that this was the beginning of the Jubilee and release from sin. He could not tell them that he had overcome Satan the devil, because the fulfillment of what here is only a fulfillment that then carries on until Satan is removed, and then, as we will see on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, his final sentencing and judgment. So why the day of Pentecost? Well, think about it. How is Pentecost counted? 7 full weeks times 7 full weeks equals 49 weeks, and Pentecost is the 50th day. And the 50th day here, because he talks about the Spirit of God, is also a prophecy when the Spirit of God would come on the day of Pentecost after his resurrection and the beginning of the preaching of the gospel. Now let's pick it up here in verse 17. And there was given him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he unrolled the scroll, he found a place where it was written. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me for this reason. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Had to be God himself in the flesh to do it after he had overcome Satan the devil, and he came to release people from sin and from bondage. Just exactly like the 50th year, which this was the 50th year, but the announcement on the day of Pentecost, they were to release people from their debts, from their obligations, and now God is saying, I am going to release you from your greater debt, your debt of sin, your debt of self, your debt of worshiping Satan the devil. For this reason, he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal those who are brokenhearted, to proclaim pardon to the captive and recovery of the sight of the blind, to send forth in deliverance those who have been crushed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that was the 50th year of Jubilee, the acceptable year to begin and to carry out the preaching of the gospel and the releasing of people from sin. Now, that's quite a thing to understand, isn't it? Well, how was he received? Well, not very well. Now, let's understand something else concerning this. Let's come over here to Colossians, the first chapter, and let's see something that we need to understand, because this goes along with the Day of Atonement, and this goes along also with the receiving of the Holy Spirit. So in a sense, the Day of Atonement, which is a Jubilee year, and the Day of Pentecost come together to bring God's plan together of the preaching of the gospel and releasing people from sin, releasing them from Satan the devil, because as we'll see a little later on, he takes them captive, whomever he will. Okay? Now, let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in verse 9. Colossians 1 and verse 9, because this becomes a very important thing for us to understand. Jesus Christ had to have that confrontation with Satan the devil to overcome him, and it was in the appointed time of the Jubilee year to begin to preach the gospel. And first, before it could be preached, he had to overcome Satan the devil. Likewise, when Christ returns, before the kingdom of God can be brought to the whole world, Satan the devil must be removed. And that's what the goat for Azazel pictured. Then the preaching of the gospel to the world, with the saints resurrected from the dead, are going to serve with Christ, as we will see, during the Feast of Tabernacles, as kings and priests to help bring the government and the rule of God on earth. Now, whether that year will be a Jubilee year or not, we do not know. However, for the land, in order to begin the count for the Jubilee for agriculture and things like this, we have to go by what we find in Leviticus 25. When you come into the land, that starts year one. So it's very probable that when we come into the land, that is, come from the sea of glass down to the earth with Christ, and Satan is bound, we are in the land, that is, we are going to occupy the world, and that begins the first year of the new count for the Jubilee, which will go on down through the millennium. And isn't it interesting? 1,000 years, that's 50 Jubilees. Think on that for a minute. 50 times 50. How about that? 50 Jubilees. Wow. Let's go on. Okay. Now, verse 9, Colossians 1. In order for us to be released from the power of Satan the devil, Christ had to come, overcome Satan the devil, come in to Nazareth, and proclaim on the day of Pentecost, which is a mini-jubilee, that he is going to set people free from sin. And in order to set them free from sin, he's got to get them out from the power of Satan the devil. And that's what the Day of Atonement pictures for us. Let's read it here. Verse 9. For this cause we also, from the day that we heard of it, cease not to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthily of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Now notice, spiritually, this is what this is to do for us, being strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory. Think about that, what God is doing for us with his Spirit. Now, if there's any one sin that the people of God need to get rid of because it's found in too many churches, little sidebar here, I get letters and emails all the time. And there is a good number of emails that have come in just recent time, that those brethren who receive our tapes and the things we send to them, which we gladly do, those who attend other churches of God are reporting that socializing and fellowshipping with brethren has become more important than serving God. Likewise with the ministers and with the sermons. So if there's any repenting to be done on this Day of Atonement, we better repent of every single idol and everything we put before God so that we can grow in the knowledge of God because of what he has done for us. All right. Unto all endurance and long-suffering with joy. Now listen. Giving thanks to the Father, who has made us qualified. God draws us. God calls us. We answer the call. He chooses us through Christ. We have our sins forgiven. God has done all of this. He is the one who is qualifying us for a share of the inheritance of the saints in light, in the light, who has personally rescued us from the power of darkness. And that power of darkness is the power of Satan the devil. We have been delivered from it, though we still live in the world. We need to understand how close we need to be with God. That's why we fast on the Day of Atonement. That's why we keep the Day of Atonement. God has something special that he is doing for us. And yes, indeed, what a thing that is going to be. He has personally rescued us from the power of darkness, not because of our works. And even if we kept some of the commandments of God and the letter of the law, until we are converted and have the circumcision of the heart, we have the law of sin and death, which leads us directly and not the Spirit of God, and we cannot be doing the works of God with the attitude and understanding and spirit that we need to do unless we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Now notice, and has transferred us unto the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his own blood, even the remission of sins. That's something. God is the one who has done it, without a doubt. Now let's come to Acts, the 26th chapter. And we will see how Paul defines this even more. Here he is rehearsing his calling. And after he was knocked to the ground and heard Jesus say, verse 14, in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? Let's understand something. He was righteous as could be in the letter of the law. Yes? Correct. Was he persecuting the church? Yes. Doing what he thought was the will of God, but was the will of Satan, the devil. To think on that. And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a minister and a witness both of what you have seen and what I shall reveal to you. I am personally selecting you from among the people and the Gentiles, to whom I now send you to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan to God. Now we need to understand that. We're under the authority of God. That's unto the kingdom of God. And we need to, brethren, living in this age as we are living, with all the things that we have heaped up and given to us, and walk around as happy little Laodiceans, not knowing our true spiritual condition. That's why we will see how we need to fast and repent. Notice, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan to God, so that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified through faith in me. Now, that's quite a thing, isn't it? That's us, brethren. God is going to give us the whole universe. We are going to live forever. How pitiful the things that we have done. How sinful and wretched they are. And on this day of atonement, let us come to God and affirm to him in a covenant pledge to put away all those things, to repent, to confess our sins, to get rid of our sins, to use the eye salve, to dress ourselves with the clothes of Christ, which is his righteousness, and not our own sanctimonious, self-righteous idolatry of spiritual blindness, that physical fellowship is pleasing to God, though we neglect him.